This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Okay, Casey Conway is the chief economist for the Colliers International, the international real estate company, commercial real estate company. He's the foremost thought leader for Colliers, authoring white papers, articles, and the North American Quarterly Office and Industrial and Port Reports. As a friend of mine says, nobody connects the dots better than Casey. In 2012, he made more than 70 speaking appearances for organizations across the industry. He's frequently quoted in the national media, including the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Bloomberg Business. We're going to have him here on our show for the next half hour. Casey, how you doing?
Great, Jim. Great to be part of your show.
Hey, thanks so much for signing on. Now, I know that you're out there, out west, still on your vacation, so thank you so much for breaking up your vacation and coming with us on our show today.
So glad to be here.
Now, Casey, what are some of the trends that you see here in the heading our way for, let's just say the economy in general, because real estate's a part of the economy. What do you see coming up here in 2014 as potential, trends and maybe even some headwinds out there? I don't know.
Sure. So the good news story that the big part affecting your part of the world, Florida, I think is what's happening with the remaking of our supply chain. Everything that gets into the retail stores and the e-commerce. And Florida's going to play prominently into
Casey,
that.
Casey. Casey, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We're having a lot of reverb on your call. Can you call us right back on the same phone?
Sure.
I apologize, but we were having a whole bunch of feedback. Maybe we'll get a better line. So we're going to hold for Casey to give us a call right back. As I said, Casey is the chief economist for Colliers International. He's got a front row seat for all the things that are going on in our economy. And not only is he a lecturer and a speaker, but he's got an inside view of what goes on at the Fed. He worked at the Fed for a number of years up in Atlanta. So while he redials in and gets the gerbil to run a little faster in his cell phone, we'll just sit here and tread water. I will tell everybody that if you want to make sure you're going to start the new year out right, try it with Tarek Maddox. He trains the NFL players like Frank Gore and Lamar Miller, and you can reach him at 786-278-5584. Tarek's a frequent guest. You can follow him at Twitter at Tarek Maddox. And now we've got Casey back. Casey, welcome back, buddy.
Great. Does this sound any better?
Oh, yeah. I think the gerbil's running a little faster. He's got some new clean sneakers on or something. So you were starting to tell us about the general macroeconomic trends that you see impacting commercial real estate and the economy in general. That's an easy question, isn't it?
Very easy, right? So the big one I was kind of mentioning was the industrial and manufacturing story. I've spoke for a number of years here as it was really kind of the little engine that could keeping our economy going, and everybody kind of doubts it, but it has been the little engine as they could, as we've seen manufacturing actually return to the U.S., and it's not just automobiles, but it's everything. And the big advantage today is the energy and the transportation costs, which are about 50% of the cost equation in manufacturing. So when you look at where you're going to distribute from and where you're going to manufacture, those transportation and manufacturing costs become very important. And what's a big part of that story and the factors into real estate in your part of the world is the expansion of the Panama Canal. So many folks may or may not be aware that the Panama Canal is being expanded to allow container ships about three times the size that passed through it today to make passage probably by the end of 2015. They keep having some delays and hiccups, but it looks like the end of 2015. And Miami will be the only port in Florida that will be what's called a post-Panamax ready port, which is a port that can receive these large new container ships. They've got both.
I can see from my home, I can see the port, and I can see all the brand new cranes that they brought in just to service these. So you're right, and they're starting the dredging. So I guess that's going to be a pretty big impact here in South Florida.
It's a tremendous impact. It'll be the only post-Panamax port in Florida. There'll only be about three or four on the East Coast. And what that means is, for the first time really in a post-World War II era economy, the East and Gulf Coast port economies can compete for all of that cargo that right now comes into California, primarily Southern California, and then gets put on rail to the rest of the country. So now it's Panama Canal expansion will make that more cost-effective to come into our East Coast ports, which is where all the manufacturing and the right-to-work states kind of are located. So that means great demand drivers for industrial, great demand drivers for manufacturing, great demand drivers for the ports, and I think that translates all the way down in the economy and the real estate.
Now, so we've got some of that stuff going on. How about some of this new financial regulations that are coming? Do you think that's going to have some negative impact on commercial real estate, maybe on loan originations? Or you think that given that the sophisticated borrowers are what they are, that it should not really have an impact?
Now, I am concerned about it. It's a great observation you have there. I spent 5 years in the Federal Reserve from 2005 to 2010 and did a lot of advising to Bernanke and the Board of Governors. And they keep wanting to tinker with real estate, and they want to have collective punishment and be punitive to everybody, community banks, regional banks, everybody, you know, that is financial related. And the cost of the regulations are becoming so burdensome, it really is adversely impacting the banks. The other thing that they're doing to the banks is they have these annual stress tests. They call them the CCAR, the Comprehensive Capital Asset review, where they, you know, put them under different microscopes. And one of them that they've done on real estate is last year they said to the banks, assume all your commercial real estate has a 21% decline in the value, and now look at what your losses would be in the bank. And so they calculated the equation and looked at their capital needs, and they all passed last year. Well, this year they said, we think we should increase that to a 35% decline in value. And so banks are just completing those stress tests and turning them into the regulators. And I think the results are going to be quite punitive on the banks, meaning they may have to cool it on their commercial real estate lending. And then when you look at what the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is doing, they're doing more about protecting us from getting any debt than actually having good debt. And so I'm very concerned about the regulatory burden.
Yeah, just as a licensed mortgage loan originator, I've seen them try to legislate an entire class of individual out of the industry, which, by the way, some of those folks deserve to be legislated out of the industry. So I don't think that it's all really that bad. But I do think that as things go, the pendulum will swing one way, and it's probably going to swing a little bit too punitive, and then hopefully it'll swing back a little towards us. So, you know, you talked a little bit about the post-Panamax trade nodes, if you will, that there's only a few of these on each coast. So I assume that you're looking at those as perhaps the areas where we might see the most increase in economic activity above and beyond the general GDP increase.
Right. Exactly. So the national GDP, we've been trending the last couple of 3 years, you know, around 2%. And they're wanting us to believe we're growing at about 4% GDP right now, which I'm very suspect of these government numbers. I always like to look to something in the private industry. So I look to something by the Association of American Railroads called Rail Time Indicators. They track everything that moves on the rail.
Yeah.
And if you really want to know what's happening in the industrial economy, look at that. Don't look at these GDP numbers. The GDP has been growing here at year end primarily because of a buildup in inventories, and that's not a healthy thing at all. It means we're not able to sell our goods either to our own consumers or to foreigners like we were. So the buildup in inventories eventually has a consequence of a shutdown or slowdown in manufacturing in early next year. But the thing that makes me feel good about the GDP and the Florida economy is some of the healthy things. So if you went around the state, starting there in South Florida, and you look at the trade, South Florida really is the entrepreneurial trade opportunity with Latin America. Latin America is kind of what I call the new Asia story for the East and Gulf Coast. So what California and the West Coast benefited from Asia the last three decades in trade, I think the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic states and Gulf states will benefit from the increased Latin American trade. And so Miami is going to be the only post-Panamax-ready port to receive those big ports or those big ships. Port Everglades is doing a tremendous job in its trade with Latin America. In fact, we actually did a study that helped clarify that Port Everglades actually handles currently more containers than any port in Florida, almost a million containers. They're neck and neck with Miami. And then if you went on up with Tampa decided not to dredge to the 50 feet that's needed to receive these big ships, but decided to focus on their strengths and more rail-type activities, and Tampa is setting itself up to basically compete head-on-head with California for agricultural import movement all the way up the East Coast. So today, where all the vegetables and strawberries and lettuce come from California to Chicago and New York, that may be coming out of Tampa in Florida here within 2 or 3 years. So I'm real excited about the things that Tampa is doing with rail and agriculture in South Florida on its trade and coordination there.
Well, Casey, we're going to ask you to stay right there. You've done terrific. We have one more segment to go, and nobody would ever know you're a third-generation MAI. You know, I'm sure that those holiday parties are very boring. I can't see getting very excited about a discussion over the holiday tables about what the fourth method of valuation might be. So we'll be back right after this with Casey. Casey, you keep on laughing. We'll be right back with more commercial real estate. And Casey, we'll talk about the winners and losers on product type, office, industrial, retail, when we come back right after this short break.